Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, pregame in less than an hour. Preds and Rangers tonight. 102.5 The Game, Preds Game Day broadcast is brought to you by Hermitage, the design center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths, on the web at GoHermitage.com. We got a great sports night tonight. We got baseball. Maybe the Braves are getting away there. We got a big Preds game tonight. We got great sports. And because Monday Night Football shortens the week, you got the Bills on one side, you got the Chiefs on the other side, and it is exciting.
It's a fun week.
And Titan fans should be excited, and I'm excited. Like, if you're one of these people who's like a Titan, Preds, Vols, Braves fan, like, this is the time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't throw any mustard on the field or anything on the ice, and you should be okay. But that doesn't mean that there aren't concerns. And there is a concern surrounding Ryan Tannehill. And I have been critical of Tannehill this year. And I'm not trying to be critical of Tannehill. I loved Tannehill after his second start against the Buccaneers. I was like, this guy's playing great. In fact, his stats that game weren't even good. And I know this because I was listening to an old Jared and the GM podcast a couple of weeks ago. And in that podcast, I was talking and the callers were saying that the numbers weren't good. And I was like, I don't care about the numbers. Tannehill was awesome. Tannehill's so much better than Marcus. Tannehill's this. Tannehill's that. And at one point, Floyd, who doesn't care about numbers, Floyd just goes, well, you don't like the numbers because they don't fit what you're trying to do. But those numbers are not very pretty now. And I was like, I guess those numbers are pretty bad. But so I've been a Tannehill supporter. And after he took on those two guys and they beat the Jags, I was like, he's the guy. He's the next starter of the Titans. And I was Tannehill over Brady. And Tannehill's performance in the playoff game against the Ravens, I had a problem with. But he was great last year. And I thought you could win a Super Bowl with that guy at quarterback. This year, the decision-making from Tannehill has not been good enough. And TD brought it up in the TD Power Hour earlier that the accuracy right now is not good enough. I mean, here's the thing about Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill is not going to be like Patrick Mahomes, who runs around and avoids tacklers and uncorks a 70-yard rocket down the field to his unbelievably fast wide receiver for a touchdown. He's never going to be that. But Tannehill should get you in the right plays. Tannehill should be able to elude defenders if he needs to run. Tannehill should be able to put the ball on the money and find the open guy. And he should be dynamite in the red zone. Because that's the Tannehill that we got used to. And he hasn't been that way. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, was on our show yesterday. And I asked Chris, what do you make of what we're seeing from Ryan Tannehill right now? Here's what Chris said.
Right now, he just looks uncomfortable in the pocket sometimes. And as being a quarterback, going for any quarterback, if you're consistently getting hit, and you're consistently getting hit from the blind side, and you fumble three or four times, you're going to focus so much to try to protect the football. And I think that sometimes he wants to make the right read, which you do, that his eyes are not looking at your second and third read. Because if you look at that interception that he threw to Poyer, he's staring down the receiver. And if you're staring down the receiver, mm-hmm. you're so cautious of not making the mistake. So I just think if he just relaxes and plays like he did last year and have that confidence, I'm not saying he doesn't have confidence, but I just think he needs to go out there and feel easy, you know, being in the pocket. And I think the reason why he may not feel easy in the pocket is because he doesn't know if he's going to get hit or he's going to get a strip sack and all those things. So those are the things that he's probably thinking in his mind. But at the end of the day, he's got to stand in there, take some shots, and deliver the ball as opposed to fumbling and making interceptions.
So Chris says he's not comfortable in the pocket. Last season, Ryan Tannehill threw 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So that means basically 5 touchdowns for every pick.
Mm-hmm.
This year, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. That's not good.
It's not good.
He says it's the protection. I thought the protection on Monday night was pretty decent, especially compared to what it had been.
On Monday night, it was pretty decent.
Now, I'm going to give you every excuse in the book that's possible for Tannehill. Number one, I think without Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis, because Julio Jones is hurt right now, without Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, Ryan Tannehill is over-reliant on A.J. Brown and doesn't really have anybody else in the passing game that he truly trusts. So he's got A.J. Brown. Like last year, he had A.J. Brown, who was not as hurt as it appears that A.J. is hurt right now, and now the food poisoning and everything else. Mm-hmm. A.J., Corey, Jonnu Smith, mm-hmm. Anthony Firkser in pass situations, Jeremy McNichols, Adam Humphries until Humphries got concussed, Khalif Raymond, who had been on the team for a year and he had practiced with, and that was what he had. This year, he's got A.J. Brown, Jeremy McNichols, who's third? Chester Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one tight end in there that is in the role that he needs them to be in. There is not. So that's my first excuse. My second excuse is the offensive line. Now, I think this is essentially the same line last year. The line last year was this line, Dennis Kelly at right tackle. It's now this line, David Questenberry at right tackle. It's pretty much the same line.
But was Tannehill getting sacked 7 times a game last year?
I can't remember for sure. I'm going to say no. But it was the same line. You know, it was the same guys.
But
so,
it's not necessarily the same protection.
The drop-off from Kelly to Questenberry is not that large. Like, this is the same line that got Mariota sacked 9 times in a game.
But it's not the same protection.
What do you mean?
Like, there's no protection for Tannehill. Monday night was different. Monday night, he did not get sacked. I think Monday night, the offensive line did their job, and they did a good job. But throughout the season, we've been complaining about this offensive line because they do not protect Ryan Tannehill. He got sacked several times a game. If I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm going to be a little bit spooked as well.
So I actually put some of the blame on getting sacked on Tannehill.
You can.
Which,
he's
like
held
on
to the ball
game,
a decent amount of time.
In the Jets game, everybody was responsible for certain sacks. Josh Reynolds has not panned out to what he was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a tight end. I mean, hard to look at Tannehill in the red zone and say, you know, your top red zone target, Jonnu Smith, is gone. So what do you do there? The other thing is Downing. And, I mean, TD was talking about how great Downing was on Monday night. I mean, look, I think this is what I think happened. Derrick Henry ran the ball like a monster, and that opened up the play action pass. Everybody was singled up. Tannehill would play action pass. They'd run A.J. to the open spot. He'd beat his man. He'd just throw it over the middle to A.J. That's what they did. It was not like, you know, this, wow, what a great, they didn't see that one coming. There wasn't really a whole lot of that. I mean, there was a pass that Jeff Swaim caught where he literally just stood there, caught it, fell backwards and fell down. And people were like, what do you think now of Swaim, Jared? Ah. I'm like, anybody could have caught that pass. I thought the thing Downing did that was really good when McNichols got hurt was instead of leaving Derrick Henry in passing situations to pass protect, he used Kari Blasingame, and I thought Kari Blasingame was great in pass protection. And I do think that they need to start throwing the ball to Kari Blasingame more often because they don't have a tight end, and they need guys that they can catch the ball, and we've seen Blasingame over the years catch a couple big ones. But those are all the excuses, right? The coordinator, the offensive line, the lack of receivers, and I think they're all valid. But I'm still not sure that that's the problem with Tannehill. I almost wonder if Arthur Smith was so smart about how to put Tannehill in the right position that without Arthur Smith, Tannehill is, as a texter was alluding to earlier today, reverting back to some of the Miami problems that he had. Now, I didn't watch Tannehill every week in Miami, and I'm not going to pretend that I did. I watched them when they were on TV, and I watched them when they played the Titans. Now, they had a game here, which I thought should have got Ken Whisenhunt fired, where Ryan Tannehill looked amazing. He hit some deep balls on Malcolm Butler at the beginning of the 2018 season. But Ryan Tannehill left a lot to be desired from his time in Miami. And he has been night and day better, the most efficient passer maybe ever, like Joe Montana level, with Arthur Smith as his coordinator, and now he's not. So that's kind of the question I had. Chris says that he thinks it's the line or he thinks it's the protection that Tannehill is struggling with. I understand that. I do wonder, though, because they change all these guys out all the time, and it doesn't affect Derrick Henry. It doesn't matter who plays left tackle. It doesn't matter who plays right tackle. It doesn't matter who plays left guard. It doesn't matter who plays wide receiver. It doesn't matter who plays other than the quarterback position. And even then, Derek racked up some big numbers with Mariota at quarterback. Other than the quarterback position, I don't see a single position on the field that has affected Derrick Henry the way it feels like all of these things seem to have affected Tannehill.
Well, different position. And also, I would say that Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill are at different skill levels in their respective positions. I would say that Derrick Henry is the best running back in the NFL right now. I would not say that about Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, we argued that Tannehill was a top 10 quarterback almost every day during the offseason.
I would say last season he was a top 10 quarterback.
Do you think Tannehill is a top 10 quarterback right now?
No, I don't.
Absolutely not. And here's the thing. Like, Joe Rex wrote, I mean, I love Joe. I really do. And I mean this with total sincerity. So, like, when some people say, hey, you and Joe get on each other, like, you know, do you guys really hate each other? And every time we're like, no, we don't really hate each other. And I don't hate Joe by any means. But Joe says some ridiculous crap sometimes. And, like, nobody ever, like, everyone gets all up in a hubbub when I say something. Joe, I mean, he is beating the drum, you know, just this. He is just banging the drum about Tannehill was 9 of 9 in the fourth quarter, and they wouldn't have won that game without Tannehill. I'm like, Joe, those were easy passes.
But he was 9 of 9. I mean, Joe's not wrong.
There's not a fourth quarter if Derrick Henry doesn't keep you in the game. There's not a fourth quarter. And so, like, I can't – this Sunday, you don't get three quarters to get warmed up. This is the NFL. You're a $30 million quarterback. He was good for one quarter. I don't care about that. That's beneath the level of expectation that I have for the quarterback. And I'm a Tannehill guy. I am. But I think early on when I saw some of these red flags with Tannehill, people were like, you just bashing on Tannehill. You're just ripping on Tannehill. And now I think people are starting to see some of these things with Tannehill. And I think they're starting to get a little concerned too, just like Chris was. And I mean, you can't do this where you go out there and play the first half that he played. You can't do that on Sunday against Kansas City. And the bigger issue here, though, is why? Like, what is wrong? Like, what's the problem here with Tannehill? Is it the receivers? Is it the coordinator? Is it the fact that the line, I guess, isn't as good? I mean, why?
You mentioned Todd Downing. And that very well could be the case. I don't know if the issue is Todd Downing or the issue is that Todd Downing is not Arthur Smith. Because you mentioned a few weeks ago on the show that Arthur Smith's top priority was designing plays that were able to kind of cover up some of Tannehill's weaker spots.
Sure.
He capitalized on Tannehill's strengths, and he learned Tannehill very well. And I think that's the issue. Because Todd Downing has done a fine job at offensive coordinator. But Arthur Smith was able to find those things, kind of some of Tannehill's bugaboos, and he was able to kind of cover them up a little bit and capitalize at what he really did well.
Are you concerned about Tannehill?
I don't know if I'm concerned. I would say, you know, Tannehill's stat line, the way that Tannehill has kind of performed the past few weeks, absolutely has not lived up to what he has done in 2020 or what he did in 2019. I don't think I'm going to be concerned yet. But it is something that I have noticed, that Ryan Tannehill has not been performing like a top 10 quarterback after we have been saying all summer that Tannehill deserves that top 10 nod.
Ian, are you concerned with Tannehill?
I don't know. I think maybe a little bit, only because I do think a lot of it does have something to do with the lack of kind of some wide receivers and some weapons at times. You know, throughout, AJ missed some time, Julio's missed some time. No, I mean, pick a quarterback, you lose your top two wide receivers, the numbers will go down, especially given the fact that this is not necessarily an overly heavy passing team anyways. And you take away some, you know, there's probably quarterbacks, obviously, that would be able to make it happen regardless. But I do think if you take away your two best pass catchers and your, you know, Janu, as you mentioned, I do think that plays a role.
I think that Ian's right. I think that all things are true.
Mm-hmm.
I think Downing is not as good as Arthur, which that may not be a knock on Arthur, or I mean a knock on Downing. It may just be the fact that Arthur was that good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the receivers have been out. And I watch Julio. He's not healthy. Like he's hurt. And he's not giving you the Julio thing. And
they also didn't get the time to practice in training camp.
Yeah, but I think that.
I know we're in week six. We're in week six, but then Julio was hurt.
But I think it's those things. And I'll say this on top of that, I believe, and I don't want to say being babied is the right word. I believe that Arthur took the bad decision-making that we can see sometimes, like the bad reactions sometimes Tannehill has, that for the most part, Arthur kept him away from falling into those habits. And I do wonder if he's starting to fall into some of those habits as well. Let's get to your phones on it. 615-737-1025. Plus, Tannehill seems to get a little, I don't want to say a little fed up with the media, but I think he can tell you that he's tired of answering this one question, which I think is pretty telling. And Joe had a doozy of a take. I mean, a doozy today. And I don't know if anybody else noticed it. But we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are live from Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators take on New York tonight, right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Join us for Light the Night. Light the Night as we partner with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Caroline wants to tell you about BetUS.
I want to tell you about my favorite sports book, and that is BetUS. Hockey season is back. We're at Bridgestone Arena. We've got a hockey game tonight here in Nashville. So get in on the action and do it with BetUS. They've been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years, and that is exactly why I endorse BetUS, because they have integrity, they have longevity, they've been around a long time, so you know that when you win on BetUS, you are going to get paid. Plus, they have everything. They have live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy prop bets. Anything you want to put money on, you can do it with BetUS. So call them today, and they will walk you through setting up an account. Their number is 1-800-79-BETUS. Just call 1-800-79-BETUS, and they will walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. You can get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code GAME, G-A-M-E. Nobody in the industry beats that. I bet at BetUS, and so should you. So go now to BetUS.com. Join today. Put in promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, for a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. That is BetUS.com.
Relationship, I guess, gone with Todd Downing. You know, have you seen it develop as the season has gone on?
You guys love these questions. I feel like every week I answer questions like this. My relationship with Todd is great. You know, it's started back in February and still going today. And
just trying to figure out, like, you know, as the season has gone on, have you guys learned anything more about one another or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the more time you spend with someone, the better your relationship gets, and the more you learn about each other. I feel like we have a great process of putting a game plan together, and then on the sideline, it's been great. You know, I've had some ideas, he's had some ideas on the sideline, and we kind of blend those together and have come up huge for us on the field. You know, made some huge plays because of adjustments. So I love working with Todd, and look forward to continue doing so.
There you go. That was Ryan Tannehill, and he does not like being asked about Todd Downing every week. You know why they ask about Todd Downing every week?
Because it's worth being asked about?
Well, because I think that people are wondering if Todd Downing is kind of the problem. You know what I mean? We're asking about what's wrong with Tannehill. Chris Sanders is concerned, and everybody else is concerned. And so it's like, so, Todd, you know, and I think Tannehill's like, you didn't ask me every day about Arthur. Todd, it's going fine. It's going fine.
Oh, do not read too far into Ryan Tannehill's words. We never have. You cannot read too far.
We always read into these words. What are you talking about? That's what we do for a living.
From Ryan Tannehill?
All the time.
No, we do not. Ryan Tannehill is coach speak 101.
Not then. We read into it when he cried about not making the Pro Bowl team. When
I wasn't here.
When Ryan Tannehill wants you to know something, Ryan Tannehill will tell you. When Ryan Tannehill didn't want to get the vaccine, we dug into it.
When Ryan Tannehill did not like Daniel Meunier, I think we knew that.
We read into that.
But very infrequently should we look into what Ryan Tannehill says.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm looking into what Tannehill says, but he's frustrated they keep asking about Downing. He wants him to stop. But they're going to keep asking about Downing because they got questions about Downing. That's the reality of it. So I do want to get to your phone, 615-737-1025, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get to Joe's doozy of a take today, which we will do in a second. But first, your phones, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Jason from Mount Juliet texts in and says, it's not just one thing in reference to Ryan Tannehill. It says, it's like a plane crash. It's always due to a pileup of a number of issues. Different offensive coordinator, injured receivers, dropping balls, no Jonnu, O-line issues. That's a lot to overcome for any quarterback.
Yes, but it's not a lot to overcome for like really good quarterbacks. Like Lamar's not having a problem with that. He's got all those.
Well, Ryan Tannehill isn't Lamar.
I mean, I think coming into the year, you need Ryan Tannehill to beat Lamar. And I think coming into the year, we looked at Lamar and we were like, okay, you know, he's not Rodgers and he's not Brady and he's not that guy. But everybody below that, we thought Tannehill was.
But I'm saying his skill set is not the same as Lamar. Now, Tannehill can move now. But if Lamar Jackson, if you switch out his receivers, he's not a passing forward quarterback.
No, but he's a run pass option guy and he lost all of his running backs.
That is true. He did.
There's a lot of chemistry that goes with when you keep it, when you tuck it, when you pull it, when you like, there's a lot there. So, I mean, that's my whole point is that I felt like, you know, Ryan Tannehill was in kind of like position to where if you're going to be one of these elite quarterbacks, then you got to get that figured out. And I didn't feel like he's getting it figured out. Now, I think those are all valid points.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
I really do. But yeah, so I hear that. What else we got?
Ben, our resident Indianapolis Colts fan.
Oh, God. Here goes Ben. Here he goes. Do y'all get Ben? Robbie Stanley's sitting down here right now.
Yeah.
Ben, the Colts fan. Is he texting all the time? He gives me the thumbs up, says, oh, yeah, Ben the Colts fan, here we go.
Ben the Colts fan texts in and says, I've been saying for a good while now that Tannehill was way overrated going into the season. It's clear he is reliant upon a top coordinator to be considered more than just an average quarterback.
I mean, maybe he's right.
Maybe he's right.
But at the same time, like, we know where the source of that take is coming from. And when it comes from Indianapolis Ben, I have a hard time getting on board with it. This is the guy who's like, hey, you guys aren't talking enough about Bobby Okereke. And it's like, no, we are not. When we had Fitz on the show, and Fitz was talking about how great the roster for the Colts was. Like, oh, this Colts roster is, I'm like, name a defensive player other than Buckner and Leonard. And he named Justin Houston, who's not on the Colts anymore. And I was like, yeah, he's not on the Colts anymore. He's like, well, they got a great roster.
Which is no fault of Fitz. He does a lot.
Sure. And then Ben texted in and was like, you left out Kenny Moore and Bobby Okereke and all these. Oh, okay. Okay.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. Yeah. Knock yourself out there. Well, Scott.
Another texter texted in. Want to hear your thoughts on this. Says Tannehill is much closer to Cousins than Lamar. I mean, this season, that's not the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm not going to say he is Kirk Cousins.
Heading down a bad path on that one.
Yeah.
Heading down a Cousins slope.
That's one of those ones where we'd take a call and I'd be like, Floyd, you know, like I just want to hear what he had to say about it. I mean, Cousins, let's just hope Tannehill plays better.
That's safe.
That. Minnesota has not been good either.
No, they have not. Robbie Stanley's here, by the way. You can go ahead and put that headset on because I want to get to this. So your partner on the radio, Joe Rexro. Can I tell you something that bothers me about your show?
You go right ahead.
The fact that Joe says some recklessly crazy stuff. And like Caroline will push back on me. And the entire text line will fire back at me if I say something reckless.
Which is like the whole show.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. Even Ladarius, our on-site engineer, who does a great job. Ladarius was firing back at me earlier today.
Called him a pocket watcher.
Pocket watcher, which is something I've never heard of before.
Very well done, Ladarius.
And yet nobody ever pushes back on Joe. Joe says so many crazy things, and you guys don't push back, and it drives me crazy. So today, you guys are talking about Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And Joe offered up this just beauty of a take, which, by the way, before we get to this, I'm watching ESPN all week. They're talking about whether or not Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer, and most of the people on ESPN are saying, yes, he is right now. Here's what Joe said this morning.
If he gets 2,000 again this year, is Derrick Henry a lock to make the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. I mean, right now he's on a trajectory where he's absolutely, you know, heading there.
Yep.
But, first of all, I guess I would ask back, like, did they do anything in the postseason this year?
Okay, I don't need to hear anymore. I don't need to hear. If he gets 2,000 yards this year, is he a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so.
What? What? 2,000 yards? Like, how does your head not explode when he says something like
that? Well, his point is that you look at the accumulation of numbers.
6,000 yards, and it's only 6,000.
Right.
Dude, nobody ever has had two 2,000-yard seasons ever.
I'm with you.
But his point is there's a certain threshold you've got to get to as a running back.
This is
you
not,
told
is
him
that
he retired now.
This is not baseball where it's like, oh, you got to have 500 home runs. Sorry, Fred McGriff, you've got 493. You're out. This is not – like football is not a stat sport like baseball is where, you know, it's like 300 wins, 3,000 hits, you know, 3,000 strikes, whatever. Like football, I don't even – how many passing yards did Sammy Baugh throw for?
I have no clue.
100? Yes. Like, I mean, back when they wore leather helmets, didn't even throw. Like, oh, my God. I heard that this morning, and I'm like – Why? Like, that is a ridiculous thing. If Derrick Henry rushes for 2,000 yards, he is unequivocally, positively in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yes.
Right?
Because, yes. Okay. I mean, Joe says you have to reach a certain threshold. Derrick Henry would recreate the threshold. He would do something that nobody has ever done before.
Right, but I think he's talking about career total, right? So, and the other part of this is what do they do in the postseason? Because Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame. And he's got two Super Bowls. He did it for a very short amount of time.
What about Gale
Sayers? But he's in for two Super Bowls. Do what?
What about Gale Sayers?
I'd have to look at his career totals. I don't know what they are off the top of my head.
It was like four good years like Terrell Davis had. I don't think Gale Sayers won a Super Bowl.
Look, I mean, even if he doesn't get to 2,000 this year, let's say he's around 1,700, 1,800, and he leads the league in rushing again. You're talking about somebody that's led the league in rushing for three consecutive years. I mean, that doesn't happen in the NFL.
Right.
So, look, you could make a case without 2,000. He might be in the Hall of Fame after this year. I know what Joe was going for, and quite frankly, I'm just glad it makes you mad. It's one of my favorite things.
I mean, it's just crazy talk. It's like it gets
for anyone who's not watching the stream. Jared's quite literally falling out of his chair.
Yeah, we've already had some people fall out of the chair in the last week here. We don't need to.
But this was self-inflicted. Like, like, the Jared versus Joe segment goes by. Like, I literally look down at the clock. I'm like, we have to go to break. Like, it's like, because it's just my opportunity to fire back all the pent-up rage. You know, it used to be.
The amount of texting that you two do during our show
is
unbelievable.
It used to be. Like, I would listen to, like, you know, the no disrespect to anybody else. I would listen to the other morning shows we have.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's now the fact that it streams that, like, I can literally wake up and just put on YouTube, like, on my TV, just put the morning show on. Like, there were people in my household that weren't very happy about that, by the way. And I would just put that on, and, like, just now I can, like, it's literally like I can go from, like, the Nintendo to the Game Boy because I can watch on the TV, and then I can, like, go, like, run or walk or exercise or whatever, and I can put my AirPods in and listen to it on my phone, and I just listen to the stream of, I mean, like, there are things you guys do that I wouldn't do, but it's working for y'all. And, I mean, we talked about it on our show. I don't know if you guys talked about it on your show. But the measurables that measure success are telling you and Joe that you guys are doing a good job. So, and I mean, like, I think those should be celebrated, which you guys have worked really hard and it's great. But, like, I mean, I just think it is the pent-up craziness of, like, the fact that Joe, like, I'm just asking that Joe be treated the same as me. Like, that when Jared says something wild and crazy, it's like, well, everybody stop what we're doing because Jared said it. Whereas with Joe, it's like Joe can just say anything. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, Joe said this.
Well, maybe you should take a page out of Joe Rexroad's playbook.
Maybe so.
You could learn a lesson or two from Joe.
I used to have a neighbor. Her name was Nancy. I love her to death. And she and her husband, Mike, they are die-hard Vanderbilt fans. Die-hard. And when Bryce Drew was the coach, Nancy said to me one day, Joe had written a column about, like, firing Bryce Drew or something in the Tennessean. And Nancy goes, did you read Rexrod in the Tennessean today? And so I think from now on, and I love you, Nancy. I think from now on, my response to everything is, did you see Rexrod today on the show, what he had to say?
I guess I'm all for it.
I'm guessing you're coming on the pregame show?
No, I just came to see you.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's awfully nice of you.
See both of y'all. Give
you know what he did?
High five.
He got those measurables that we were referring to, the success.
The powers that be.
The success that the Robbie and Rexrod program is having, and he wanted to come up here and gloat in his...
Yeah, that's what it is.
Garnet suit.
In his dapper suit.
Are you going to the
Robbie.
You going to the Mississippi State booster party tonight?
Yeah, me and Jeff Simmons hanging out tonight.
That looks like something Jeff Simmons would wear.
Hail State.
That's right.
Robbie Stanley with us. Coming up next, we'll bet some games. We'll bet the baseball game, the hockey game. We'll do that next. Plus, the one thing I'm not going to do about this baseball game, we will get to that coming up here on Stillman and Company. Good to see you, Robbie.
Good to see y'all.
TriStar Moving, my official movers. You know, if Robbie one day decides to move into a big house because him and Joe have had so much success that they can buy this giant mansion, and he and his wife decide that they want to move into this mansion, I hope they call my friends at TriStar Moving because they make moving so simple. That's right. I love TriStar Moving, and I hate moving in general. I love TriStar Moving. When I moved, they made it absolutely, positively the best experience. TriStar Movers with five-star service. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving became a breeze. They offer home protection covering floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. They're always upping the game when it comes to mover training. All my furniture, everything else wrapped perfectly, and everything was taken care of. They have a brand-new state-of-the-art storage facility as well in Mount Juliet. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, true Nashvillians, and that's why TriStar Moving is on the rise quickly. TriStar Movers with five-star service. Give them a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website, nationalmoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you, my official movers. Stillman & Company live at Bridgestone Arena. Hang out with Caroline Fenton this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. She previews the SEC football slate with Southeastern Carolines. She will give you her picks of the day and get you set before kickoff around the South. So, last night in Carolines, I picked the Braves to lose. And I felt very confident that the Braves would, in fact, lose. Then the Braves kicked that rear end. It got tight for about 5 minutes. And the Braves kicked that rear end last night. And they are up 3-1, just like they were up 3-1 last year. But it's a different 3-1. The Braves were the hurt team. Now the Dodgers are the hurt team, which is crazy because the Braves don't even have Ronald Acuña. But I don't believe in the Braves. I can't do
it. Are you saying that because you don't want to jinx it?
I can't do it. I cannot bring myself to expect the Braves to win tonight. I cannot bring myself to expect the Braves. I have tickets for the Chiefs game.
Uh-huh.
I haven't made any plans because I also have tickets for game 7. So, and that would be Sunday night.
Right.
So if the Braves are playing Sunday night, then I'm going to go to Atlanta, go to the game, not go to the Chiefs game. So I can't ask people, hey, you want to go to the Chiefs game?
Because you don't know what's going to happen.
If I don't know if I'm going to go to the Chiefs game or not. Because I think I'm going to game 7. Because I think there's going to be a game 7, and I think the Dodgers are going to win.
I think I agree with you.
That there's going to be a game 7 and the Dodgers are going to win? Yeah. You're not even a Braves fan.
So am I not allowed to have an opinion?
No, but like this is like a deep-seated, like rooted in the Braves, you know.
Oh, so I can't have a thought on it.
But you don't feel the pain.
No, I felt plenty of baseball pain in my day. I've also felt plenty of baseball glory in my day.
You're a Cardinals fan. Y'all do things that you're not supposed to do. We lose things that we are supposed
to lose. You lose games that you're not supposed to lose. We somehow go on a 17-game heater and then barely lose to the Dodgers in the wild card game.
Win 84 games one year and end up winning the World Series is what the Cardinals do.
I have experienced plenty of baseball glory in my day. But I think the Dodgers win tonight.
Do you think they win the series?
No.
Why?
I am a neutral. You say you're a Braves fan, so you don't want to comment on it. I am a neutral being here. Being up 3-1 is some serious something there. And that's some serious motivation, especially because the Dodgers are kind of dropping like flies with their injuries. I think the Braves win the series, but I do think that the Dodgers win tonight. Max Fried on the mound for the Braves. I do love Joe Kelly, and he's on the mound for the Dodgers tonight.
By the way, Drew in sales just texted me and said, if you have to go to Game 7, I'll take your Titans tickets in tribute in your honor.
I knew that would come pretty quickly. People coming out of the woodworks for those Chiefs tickets.
I know, right? Time now for Carolines.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Carolines here on Stillman & Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Carolines is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention promo code GAME, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. We've got a Braves-Dodgers game tonight, NLCS game. Braves are throwing out lefty Max Fried on the mound. In the regular season, he was 14-7 with a 3.04 ERA. In his one postseason start, he's 1-0 with a 1.5 ERA. Joe Kelly out on the mound for the Dodgers. I'm going to take the Dodgers.
Two postseason starts.
Is it two postseason starts?
Yeah, he started against the Brewers, dominated.
His second start of the NLCS, excuse me. This is his second NLCS start.
I mean, look, if the Braves are going to do it, they're going to do it tonight. because the Dodgers are throwing a bullpen game,
mm-hmm.
and they can line it up with Scherzer and Buehler in 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got, and they've burned through their bullpen the last 2 days, and in Atlanta and everything else, and they are really short-staffed. The Braves have their ace going today. Max Fried has been unhittable down the stretch. He's been awesome in the playoffs. I mean, he's an ace. Like, he is a number one ace.
I saw who was pitching for the Braves tonight, and I thought, okay, they're getting it done tonight. They want to get it done. You got to capitalize on that lead.
Give me the Dodgers on the money line. I am taking the Dodgers.
Jinx City.
Give me the Dodgers. What's next?
Dodgers are on the money line, minus 134. Braves plus 114. I am going to take the Dodgers on minus 134. We've also got some Thursday night football tonight. We have got the Broncos at Cleveland. A little bit of a curveball here. I'm going to take the Denver Broncos. No Baker Mayfield. You know what? I don't trust Case Keenum. I mean, the Browns are riddled with injuries. Nick Chubb out with a calf injury. Kareem Hunt out with a calf injury. Baker Mayfield out with a shoulder. Jarvis Landry, Jack Conklin, Jedrick Willis Jr., and Odell Beckham all questionable tonight. Teddy Bridgewater is dealing with a little bit of a foot issue, but I do think that Denver goes in to Cleveland and gets it done.
I will take the Browns because I just think they have a better team. And they are dealing with injuries, but they're 3-3. They've been getting called out. The game's at home. I am going to take the Browns. I think they will get it done.
The spread here is only 1.5. If it was a little, it was more like 3.5, I would have taken the Broncos +3.5. But I mean, here it's not even worth your money on the spread, so I'm taking them on the money line.
Sure. By the way, hockey tonight. I think Preds get it done. I think they even themselves up to 2-2 tonight. I think, and we'll give our final scores and everything else. Mm-hmm. I think the Predators are. I think the Predators are the kind of team where they're going to win a lot of games this year because every game is going to be close with their goalkeeping,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to poke one through, or they're going to give up one late, mm-hmm. or and tonight I think they'll win a close one. So I think the Predators will win tonight. Give me 3-1 with an empty netter.
I think it's going to be 3-2 Preds. Puck line here is 1.5. So, taking New York Rangers +1.5, -280. It's not even worth it. If you're going to take Preds -1.5, +225. I don't think they win by more than 2 goals.
Tell us about Carolines.
Carolines is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention promo code GAME, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit.
There you go. Predators game day is next. Let me tell you about Invigorate Health. That's right, InvigorateHealthTN.com. I was at Invigorate Health today, and I had the M-Sculpt Neo strapped on. They had these plates right there on the abdomen, you know, that hard-to-get-rid-of fat area, and they pumped it up to 100%. And I'm going to tell you, it felt like Derrick Henry running the football right at me. Then it came back, goes back to the huddle, takes a second. There goes Derrick Henry. But guess what? It gets rid of 30% of fat and helps gain 25% of muscle. It is totally worth it. The M-Sculpt Neo machine, it's a $450,000 machine. And you can go to Invigorate Health and you can sign up right there. They also checked all of my levels. Guess what? Healthy as an ox over here. Now, I've got to watch the cholesterol a little bit. But other than that, you know, everything's good.
Great to hear.
But a lot of people aren't that way. So if you need hormone replacement or you need testosterone or you need your kidney functions checked and things of that magnitude, they can do that at Invigorate Health. And I'm going to tell you something. So not only do they have that, they have IV therapy just to get you back on your feet if you've been sick or if you've maybe gone out a little too hard or whatever it may be. They've got the IV bags. You go right in there. Boom, they pop that thing right in there. It's perfect. If you're feeling old, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling sick, if you're feeling sluggish, Invigorate Health, they do it all. InvigorateHealthTN.com. But not only that, the staff at Invigorate Health, and I am not saying this because, you know, they are a proud sponsor of this show. I'm saying this because I freaking love those people. I mean, it is, those people are great people. And if you're going to go in there and you're going to do something as invasive or as personal as something like this, you want people there that are not only doing the same things you're doing, but also are great people who respect you, respect your privacy, and are so easy to get along and make things understandable. They've got the best staff there. Whatever it is that's making you feel old or tired or weak or fat or you name it, InvigorateHealthTN.com. That's where you need to go. My friends, Invigorate Health. Again, InvigorateHealthTN.com.
It's Hockey Night in Smashville.
Deflects back for Duchene. His shot stopped. And the score!
What are the keys to victory tonight? What's being said in the locker room? Where do the Preds reside in the Central Division standings? Jared Stillman has the latest now with Preds Game Day on Stillman & Company. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. This is Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Nashville Predators, New York Rangers tonight at Bridgestone Arena. 7 o'clock right here. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pre-game coming your way in about 6 minutes. The Predators are 1-2-0. Good for 2 points on the season. The Rangers 2-1-1. Good for 5 points on the season. We start with the coach's take, where John Hines says after a win the other night, it's time to keep it rolling.
Well, I just think be real consistent with our game, and we felt like we've done a lot of good things in the first three games, and probably our most complete game was against LA, and it was nice to get rewarded for it. So, you know, we talked about some areas yesterday and this morning that we really liked, and I think early in the year you are continuing to build your identity and the details of your game, and you know, we're excited. It should be a good opportunity to end the homestand against a real good team. I think they've won two straight now, so they're coming in feeling really good about themselves. So we're expecting a real competitive game.
So the Predators look at a team like the Rangers that kind of had to take a little bit of a step back, kind of build it up a little bit, you know, and go the way that they've gone. And John Hines wants to see some consistency. Now, what does that mean for the lineup tonight? That I do not know. I do wonder if this is going to be a game where perhaps Philip Tomasino works his way back into the lineup. I asked, as the midday show was leaving, I asked Willie if that was a possibility, and he said it might be. We had Crispy on earlier today, and Crispy said he wants to see the young guys, but he wants to see the guys that have played well in the past. He wants to see them kind of do what they are on the team and on the roster to do. UC Soros, we'll assume, will be in net for the Predators, 1-2 on the season with a 2.03 goals against average, 9.27 save percentage. Not bad numbers there whatsoever for UC Soros. Caroline Fenton, tonight right here, 7 o'clock, what are you watching for from the Predators?
I just want to see the Predators have a little bit of consistency here, and I think the most important thing for them moving forward is just to continue to build momentum, especially so early in the season. I said at the beginning of the season, I don't want to see another midseason turnaround. I don't want it to be the Predators being at the very bottom of the NHL. They have to turn their way around and have to dig their way back to the top, so I'm looking for a little bit more consistency and for the Preds to get back at that 500 win percentage.
By the way, Tanner Jeannot scored his first career game-winning goal on Tuesday against Los Angeles. He now has 6 goals and 8 points in his first 18 career NHL games. So, you know, keeping an eye on this, David said he knew more than me when he decided to keep Jeannot. Got a game winner the other night. Got to give credit where credit's due. I can rip David all the way 8 ways to Sunday, but if the guy gets it done, then you got to give the guy credit for getting it done.
Win's a win.
That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. Puck drop, 7 o'clock. The voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber, will have the call. Meanwhile, Darren McFarland is standing by. Pregame is next. Go Braves, go Preds, and we will see you tomorrow at 2.